is really due to end and is actually over now, but I'm going to keep on going until Uncle Dennis arrives in the theater. He's a bit late for some reason. This is From the Cream to the Dregs is the usual show time that he has here from 8 to 10. He's also the creator of Earth First News, which happens every weekday at 5:30 p.m. for 5 minutes, but it's quite a full 5 minutes, and I invite people to tune in to Free Radio Santa Cruz during that time. My show, as you know, is a twice-weekly show, or perhaps you don't know, 6 to 8 on Thursday evenings, and 10 to 1:30 in the afternoon on Sundays, and we broadcast at www.microradio.net. We had hoped to get a little input from Scott Immler down in Los Angeles on how cannabis clubs are being treated there, but maybe we'll be doing that on Sunday. Let's hear a little bit more from the hippie planter scene, and these are tapes from about a week ago, but they do cover some interesting aspects of what's happening there.
We're supposed to do that every day, but this has done something else. I was like, so saying that you just love to waste taxpayers' money. Well, now I've seen, they said that was just a special thing. It was only going to happen once. I've seen it 5 days in a row now.
So once a day, twice a day, sometimes twice a day?
Sometimes twice a day, sometimes three times a day I've seen.
Really? Now, and for the last 5 days, can you actually remember specifically that it has been twice a day for the last 5 days, or?
Well, I'm saying over, like, the past 10 days, it's been twice a day, like, five different days.
Right.
Out of that 10 days.
So there's been at least 10 incidents of washing in the last 10 days.
No, there's been 15 incidents of washing.
Right.
But sometimes it's twice a day.
Right. Well, you should suggest it be done with hot water and they provide soap. And we can all have a good time.
What do they have brewing down there?
Yeah.
There's helicopters standing down there.
Yeah. I see several three squad cars. Maybe we should go investigate this activity.
Jerry's down there, dog.
Uh-oh. Can somebody go check that out? Take a look? I can go. Maybe someone watch
right
the table.
I'm watching.
Okay. Say this again, Elijah. You say they took your backpack, and then in the jail you had a conversation with the deputy?
No, in the police station, when they were trying to write out the police report, he stated that the jail wouldn't accept my backpack as incoming, like, clothing and stuff to put on their, like, in their inventory, and then he had to keep it at the police station. I could claim it tomorrow, but I'm, like, looking at this paper, and it states I have to have an ID to get my stuff back, and the whole reason I was taken out of jail is because I didn't have an ID, and there's, like, pictures of my daughter and, like, personal belongings and things that are meaningful to me in there, and I'm kind of afraid of it.
All you got to do is go down there and be able to prove to them exactly, you know, list a bunch of stuff that would only you would know that's in your backpack. Now you have a lawsuit, brother, because now you're denying legal rights.
So
you know what's in that backpack.
You say that the deputy made it, or which officer was it? Was this Sergeant Baker we're talking about, or another officer?
What's Sergeant Baker?
Baker. And what does Sergeant Baker say to you?
He said I won't be getting my personal belongings back.
So this sergeant took your belongings gratuitously, singled you out of a crowd, had you arrested for blocking the sidewalk, held you for 6 hours in jail, and now has actually confiscated your property. Is that right?
That's what he told me. And I was held under 647F.
647F is public intoxication, I think.
All right.
And we're talking about Elijah Beck here.
Look
at the arrest report. It's about... So like 6:10 this happened, and there's no field, no breathalyzer, and you were arrested for intoxication, only no further proceedings are desirable. Was he intoxicated last night?
No, he wasn't intoxicated.
And you're a witness as well.
Yeah.
Your name is
Ben.
Yeah, and you doesn't look intoxicated now, that's for sure.
No, he's not intoxicated.
I need new shoes.
Am I intoxicated? No.
Yeah.
You look happy. Thank you.
Absolutely.
It is about 1:10. There are 8 police officers here, you say?
About 8 police officers. Yeah, I was just told by this gentleman right here.
Okay, so what's happening? You see a number of squad cars there. You know what's going on?
That down host center was jam-packed. There's a couple sergeants in there. A couple deputies I've never seen. I was just talking to them because I'd seen the Del Mar sign lit last night. We were talking about the sign. They were talking about if everybody had their key to the host center. I asked them who paid for that, and they told me it was half the police department and half the city pays for that building.
Right.
I told the cop that was real weird because I was threatened with arrest if I went back in there.
Now, there was a meeting today.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know, me too. And there was a downtown, a meeting of the Downtown Social and Legislative Committee of the Downtown Association, which essentially, in my belief, originated this whole plan to get rid of folks by putting up a fence and so forth.
I came into the measuring for that today, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah. Tell me about that.
Some guy over here with tape measure, he was measuring all over the place around here, and, you know, was writing down measurements as he was doing it, right, where the fence, where the chalk was done, like, a week ago, now they're doing the actual measurements out for it.
So they are, in fact, proceeding further with this attempt to privatize the sidewalk with a brass railing. Thank you.
Well, I think they did this to the Indians, didn't they?
Groups get this kind of treatment.
I think we should get our own casino now.
Hey. So Sergeant McPhillips just came by. It's about 1:20. Tells me that he's on the mall half the week, and Sergeant Baker is on the other half. And we have the two CSOs walking by, three police officers. We have a well-policed city, folks. You need have no fear now. There will be no terrorist bombings. We have lots of police officers here. And I appreciate the help. But you have to boycott sushi now.
I don't eat sushi.
There you go. I mean, that's a good step. Okay, it's about 20 to 2. It looks like an incident has happened where individuals tea were knocked over at the Sushi Now Cafe by a woman with a trash bag, and she's left. And it's unfortunate. Sign our petition here. So Mary Corey came by about 10 after 2 and is concerned that she has no room to walk, and that things are problematic here. She's going to talk to the mayor about it, Mayor Crone. That's a different point of view. We're talking with...
Oh, no, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
But I do want to...
Okay, so there, but you are a mother who comes here with her kids, and you haven't any problems.
As my daughter doesn't get harassed, what do I care?
Have you ever had a problem here with this folks here?
Never.
How long have you been in Santa Cruz?
Since 1987.
So that's 14, 15 years.
Yeah, I went to UCSC, so I just stayed in the community.
So you're not worried about these criminals attacking you here?
Not at all. I mean, if you're homeless, then I think the community should be even more accommodating, you know? If you don't have anywhere to go, I'd rather that than...
Sorry.
Homeless people feel even more homeless, you know?
Yes, I do.
Ridiculous.
Thank you very much.
It sounds like anti-civilization to me.
It's bigotry is what it is.
Ridiculous, so whatever.
So it's about 10 to 5. We're in the community TV studios. And that's a whole different story. Actually, that was an interview that will be airing on community TV fairly soon. And the show you're listening to is the aftermath of Bathrobes Pier's broadsides. We're actually running a bit over tonight. Very unusual. I hope Uncle Dennis is okay. I'm not sure what he's up to. He's usually here before time rather than after time. What we're going to do now is play a little bit of it's almost archival material, but not quite. In mid-January, the National Law Center for Homelessness and Poverty issued a national report, 200-page report, called Illegal to Be Homeless, and talked about the 80 meanest cities in the country. And Santa Cruz was in the top 7 and the top 2 in the state of California. The Coalition on Homelessness, the National Law Center for Homelessness and Poverty, the National Coalition for the Homeless, and various other groups held a press conference up in San Francisco. There were numerous speakers. We're now going to hear something of that press conference while we're waiting for our next DJ to come in and or whoever is going to be covering for him if he can't make it.
Is there anyone else in the audience who'd like to come up and speak? Okay, come on up.
Okay, I'm going to talk about some successes that we've had in Berkeley. Berkeley White would be right up there with San Francisco and Santa Cruz. But we've been able to organize to fight the police harassment that's gone on there. Back in April, we went to the city council in massive numbers to stop the enforcement of 647J to get the passage of the homeless human...
What you're listening to is Michael Deal of Berkeley Tune in next week for another edition of Bathrobes, Beers, Brassettes.
Now I'm working with Boss. So initially after we passed that, we saw increased police harassment. They went after trespassing. They went through everything they could go after the homeless. And we had to go out there and watch the cops very closely until they finally got the message that that was just not going to work anymore in Berkeley. We've had the emergence of the Berkeley Homeless Union to continue to keep pressure on from people from the streets, organizing against that to start addressing the issues, the real needs, you know, like the right to be able to camp without being harassed. We're still having problems in Berkeley in the marina area. Out in the waterfront, a lot of people are either losing their vehicles or being pushed away with the threat of that, so it's not like Berkeley is perfect and there's still harassment on trespassing. But we've had some victories there. You know, earlier, 10 years ago, we were able to stop when they were trying to ban panhandling and sitting on the sidewalk, and that's one we've continually had to battle. But I just want to say that, you know, when you do get organized, when you get people out, there is possibility of success. And that's one thing that Berkeley, you know, there is still a progressive movement there. Despite all you people would like to make it into a gentrified Disneyland, you know, we still keep fighting. And we may have to keep fighting to keep it that way. Thank you.
Thank you. So is there anybody else out here who'd like to come up? Come on up.
My name's Lisa Williams. I go to law school over at Hastings over here. And I did an economic report on criminal law and the homelessness. And this is just some stuff I wanted to share. Criminal law, the economic argument behind it is to raise the price of criminal activity so much that people will choose not to do it. So you have a huge punishment for it, and people will rationally decide, okay, well, I'm going to do this legal activity instead of doing illegal activity because it's going to cost me too much. It's too risky. The thing is, though, in criminalizing homelessness or activities that homelessness people tend to do, like camping out on streets or pissing on the sidewalk or, you know, sitting on the sidewalk or panhandling, is that there's no substitute for the activity that they're doing right now. Basically, you know, if I choose to steal your cup of coffee or not steal it, I know the penalty for theft and I sort of calculate the risk and I go, you know what, forget it, I'm going to choose the legal activity of not stealing it. That's the substitute. But if I'm homeless and I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to choose to sleep on the street or not sleep on the street, there's no substitute. There's no legal activity I can choose. So I'm going to sleep on the street. Now, if you raise the price on that activity, if you tell me instead of getting a $10 ticket for sleeping on the street, I'm going to get a $100 ticket or I'm going to be put in jail, my income's going to become even less than it was before. I'm going to be forced to have to do more of that supposed illegal activity that you chose to criminalize, meaning sleep on the street or whatever you want to say. So you're going to just exacerbate the activity. You're going to make people do it actually more. So if the purpose of criminal law is to deter the criminal activity, you're having the opposite effect here. It's going to actually increase the activity that you want to deter, and it's not going to work, and that's what I think. Thanks. Thank you. So you want to come up? All right.
Hi, my name is Robert Norris. I'm from Santa Cruz with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Let's hear it for HUF! Hey, I'm wearing a bathrobe and a teddy bear because this is how homeless people are at night when they don't look so pretty. They have to sleep at night. That's what this means, silly as it is. And you've been hearing a lot of specific reports from different cities about how this is a widespread phenomenon. What can you do about it in San Francisco? What can we activists do about it throughout the state and the country? And the answer is to support each other wherever the issue arises. So in the Community Homeless Alliance Ministry of San Jose walks up from San Jose, join them. We need to be doing that kind of thing, getting together with each other. When you hear of the Richmond City Council passing this absurd camping ordinance, get over there and help them out. If you can't, send off an email, a fax, a letter, a phone call. Santa Barbara, when you hear that they've made successful use of the necessity defense and won at an appellate level, ruling that people who sleep outside can say, I had no choice, this conviction must be thrown out. We need to spread that word all over the state and use these in each of our jurisdictions. And most important for folks out there who aren't...
All right, sorry to fade you down there, but this is... you are listening to 96.3. This
so it's February 21st, 2002, and I'm returning to Yuppie Planter, the former hippie planter, which is now the private preserve of Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe. Apparently the planter was put in this morning. We've done some interviews. Beautiful weather today, sunny and good, and lots of folks downtown. Boycott Sushi Now, now, and Alibaba's Cafe. Keep public spaces open to everyone, not just private restaurants. And the sun is dropping lower.
Robert, I'm not playing.
So what's happening?
Oh, my challenge.
Robert, I'm not playing. I have a... This guy just threatened to kill me at Works and Borders, dude. These motherfuckers... I want to get...
David, you need some conflict reconciliation here, is what you need.
You got a Borders shirt on, dude.
Yes, no Borders, no Borders.
Nobody would care unless, if it was happening in their park, a park where their children hang out at or something.
As I look at the sidewalk here, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, about 8 feet between the planter and the green railing, which is the amount of space left over here that... Hi. So what do you think of this? Any comments on this new fence, passerby?
No comments, whatever.
Thank you. And we have a Matisse Selman is enjoying some of his sushi here at the fenced-in area that previously was public space. And folks are walking by. Now, what do you think of all that? What's your thought about this?
I'll tell you right away. I have to... Oh, gosh. I'm mad at him because I always come through here and I see my friends and I always see him harassing my friends. And now I don't get to see my friends. So I really like my friends.
You're talking about Matisse Selman, the owner of Sushi Now?
Yeah.
Or I should say the manager of Sushi Now?
And the other one, the other guy, the Alibaba guy. I just think that there's a way for us all to live together without using music to get people out of here and without making people feel like they're vagrants or don't have anything quality to do with their time. I think that that element is an important integral part of our culture, and it's, I work, I pay my taxes.
Where do you work?
In Saratoga, I work for a design firm.
And you live here?
I live in Santa Cruz. I get help taking care of my children in that area. I have family and stuff there. So
I see you have two children with you.
And yeah.
How old are your children?
They are 3 and 4. And they're used to coming here. They know a lot of these people by name, and they really
the folks who formerly were able to use this public area, but now can no longer.
In fact, there was one guy who they're calling by name right now who would always come and play with them and just let mommy feel like she could just take a breather for a minute, and just be part of.
Well, maybe Matisse and Ali would do some babysitting.
Well, how much business do they really do down here, and how much do the people that hang out down here really affect their business? I don't see it. This is Santa Cruz. It's a really special part of Santa Cruz.
Your taxpayer dollars are worth?
I think we could all live together one way or another. Zachary, I can't explain to him why he can't.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
What happened earlier, Mark?
Mark, yes.
Tell us about the police earlier. What happened?
Well, it looked like, they were... cordoning this off or something. They expected a riot, I think. It was like four of them, had two of them over here, two of them on that corner, one of them over here, and they kind of waited around for a while, and then finally they were just like, let it go.
And what time did they come, and when did they go, more or less?
I couldn't say for sure. Say around 2, and they stayed till about 4.
Were there a lot of people who were upset, or was it pretty mellow, or was it?
It was mellow. Pixie was here holding up signs saying we won't go, and peaceful protest, and basically whether we should be able to stay wherever we want to.
The public spaces should not be taken without just compensation.
So they only gave 4 days to vote on this? Is that what it is?
They informed the public of this on a Friday, and then they voted on it on a Tuesday. So yeah, it was 4 days. It was back in January.
Business as usual, huh?
Segregation as usual. Without representation.
it was a form of turning things over to private people, and for a particularly nasty purpose, I think.
Yeah.
Getting rid of people. Getting rid of young people.
Right. Spending our money to get rid of poor people. That's what it's all about. And they're going to spend a lot more of their money when I'm finished with them.
You know, Kate didn't show up today for her court.
So, all right, why not? So, are you being told to leave this area?
Yeah.
You just bought something at New Leaf?
Yeah.
I see. So we just talked to a person who tried to sit down at one of the empty Sushi Now tables, and there's actually one customer.
Not the table, the planner.
Actually, was it? Well, the person she was at the
planner. At the planner, not even at a table.
So she was sitting. So the owner now feels he owns the planter as well as the tables. Is that accurate, Matisse? Matisse smiles and walks on. What can I say?
They made some lady get up who bought something and try to sit over there. She tried to enter by the wall. They said, no, you can't sit there. You got to go.
Really?
Yeah, the police did, actually.
The police?
They were nice enough not to give her a ticket because obviously she wasn't dressed like a hippie.
Maybe what we need to do is to, you know, test this legally because I think to allow the entire area to become privatized is perhaps a step beyond, so to speak.
Well, yeah, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's a little bit of planter left on both sides. You've got 4 feet on each side that you can actually...
Yes, Matisse.
So this is Matisse, owner of Sushi Now?
Yes. Now you are the owner, not your father. Somebody has said your father.
You are the Robert Norris from the Bathrobes...
Pierre's Broadside's radio show, which we'll be playing shortly.
And I do enjoy that radio show.
And you're welcome to come.
I know. I have called in before. I would like to know how much time has been spent on your radio show, which I do like, discussing... important matters such as the war on terrorism, Camp Paradise, things like that actually matter as opposed to something that's very, very low on the priority
list.
Well,
within what period of time?
Just I'd say in the last, you know, since September 11th, let's say. How much time have you spent?
You know, actually, your issue has only come to the fore since January 4th or January 8th when it passed City Council. So it's really, there's been a lot of time spent on your issue, I'd say 20 or 30% of this time at least. Since January 8th, mainly because it seemed like such a hurried and blatant move on the public spaces. But I would love to see you call in and address these other issues. I mean, why not? Call in tonight and talk about these other issues. We will be, of course, discussing the big issue of the day, the fence that you guys put in here, but, you know, the other issues, yeah, you are quite right, are very important.
Or more important.
Or more important,
I think people dying in even if it is other countries, I think it's more important than...
Or dying in Santa Cruz from exposure.
Or any kind of death of humans, I think, is important to cover more than relocating people who are abusing their rights and stepping on other people's rights.
The woman who went and sat on the platter a moment ago that you told to leave abusing her rights? I mean, you know, I have to ask you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be honest, you know, right.
You know you twist everything around. You know you do. You're the master of misinformation.
I'm not trying to twist it around. I'm trying to say that she tried to use a space previously public and you told her not to. That's what I'm talking about. She wasn't abusing anybody's rights. You told her to leave.
Area. It's right. A license area.
But she wasn't abusing her rights. I mean, she was, you know, it's now it's private.
We're establishing the rules, and so we need to really keep on top of the rules until, because we have people stirring things up and trying to incite
riots.
Who
would be stirring things up here?
Come on.
Thank you, Matisse.
I mean, I can see that.
Yet again?
A moment of silence. Aliyah sold a falafel.
Well, I'll pause briefly here.
I haven't gone to Borders yet, but I've seen you walking out of there.
I have walked out of Borders and walked in, but I have not spent one penny in Borders.
Okay.
Although I use their chairs, I read their books, and I have tipped some of their waiters because I've sat at their tables.
Right on.
But I have not spent any money for the Borders books. Not that I haven't been tempted.
You know what I think of this place? I think it takes up more space than the hippies did, and it's going to be used less. And it's like this guy owns the sidewalk, these merchants own the sidewalk, which is not true. The people own the sidewalk. And that doesn't mean people who can afford a $3 soda. It means the people. You know, this is baloney. It's gentrification. It's class oppression in disguise.
Sounds like... I'm talking to myself again here. Or you're talking. All right. This is the new yuppie planter.
It is.
Your name, sir?
David.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
You're a man on a bike, I see.
Oh, yeah. For 5 years now.
Well, it's one step ahead of me, at least. What do you two think of the new hippie planter fence? I should say the yuppie planter fence. Your name?
My name is Nick. I think it sucks.
Your name?
I thought that for it to suck, it was something enjoyable, like Primus sucks. I mean, when was the last time you had an oral, you know, sexual experience with a woman that sucked you really well and you didn't enjoy it?
I've been licking the fence and having no satisfaction whatsoever, I want to tell
splinters.
You.
Splinters. Well, you see, my last boyfriend
it's a metal
was a,
fence.
My last boyfriend was a mirror, and I broke it, so every time I lick it, I cut my tongue, you know?
The stuff of which sharp poetry is made.
But the coroner experience, today is the first time I've seen it. Are you rebelling against it?
I would have to say yes.
Well, what kind of action are you taking?
Interviewing people for a radio show.
Oh, yeah, you're the radio guy.
I'm the radio guy. We have a couple of locals here. What do you think of this new fence, you two?
I don't like it at all. I mean, I think they're trying to, like, take a public place and make it not public, you know? I mean, it's not right that we can't hang out here anymore.
Your name is?
Todd Papakota.
And you, madam, what is your name?
I'm Sugar.
You certainly are. And what do you think of all this?
I think it's not good. They're being really strict. If anything, they're driving people away, I think.
Well, I don't see any customers there, right?
Not at all.
I don't like it because Sugar don't like it.
I see.
This is what you know, makes up part of, like, what Santa Cruz is like the people on the streets, you know, and they're taking that away, you know.
Segregation.
I think
complete
more
segregation.
Oh, please.
I think more people come by, and when they come by, they stop and watch and, like, you know, look at all us out of, like, you know, because they like it than people complain. I think more people like what they see than they complain, you know. I mean, but
now
the town doesn't think so.
You've hung out here in the past a considerable amount.
Yes.
And what's going to happen now? Are you going to... I know that I've seen Matisse Selman on one occasion, and I'm told that someone else on a second occasion drive people away from either sitting on the planter inside the area and then over there at that planter, the wooden planter. Now,
yeah, they said that you have to buy something for like a dollar to sit there for an hour.
Well, so you've got to pay your rent, man.
Yes.
I mean, after all, rents are rising in Santa Cruz. Yeah.
That's right. Even public places. It's getting scary.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You just observed a woman standing on the now privatized planter area chatting with her friend Ali Ka.
It is not a customer.
And she apparently isn't a customer, but she is a friend. And they're going to sit down and chat. So it's become a private playground for the friends and customers of Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe.
Yep.
What do you think?
That's exactly what's happening.
What do you suggest?
It's not relevant to the issue.
Fencing in, folks. Fence off those undesirable types, and let's keep the customers coming in. For some reason, there don't seem to be too many customers, though, at the moment. Your name, sir?
Nathaniel Hamill.
And Nathaniel, you say that you had a friend who was arrested for blocking the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. When did this happen?
About 3 days ago or something like that.
And were you an observer, or did you hear about this?
Well, she told me about it. I didn't see it happen.
What did she say happened?
She just said she was arrested for blocking the sidewalk. She wouldn't move when they told her to. And she said, I'm sorry for standing here and stuff like that, but she didn't want to move or anything. And so they arrested her for insubordination or something like that.
And what time of day was it? Did she tell you?
I don't know, but, like, all I know is all I can see is, like, when you have money, you can block the sidewalk.
Well, this whole thing is blocking the sidewalk. I mean, this entire new fenced-off area.
Yeah, that's what I don't get about, because, you know, I mean, the only way to sit there is if you can buy something from there. And it's just stupid, because, you know, people should be...
Your name again is?
My name is Todd.
What happened?
I saw a lady sit down and talk to Alibaba or whatever his name is, and she didn't buy anything, so I sat down, and he was like, this is for customers only, and I was like, I didn't see her buy anything. And he looked at me, he didn't know what to say, and then he gets up and comes by me, he's like, you wait right there. He's like, you sit right there. And I was like, no, I'm not going to sit anywhere. He's like, well, this is for customers only. I was like, well, then tell your friends that. And he was like, well, she's my friend, so she can sit here.
Well,
you know,
we all needed a special card. Maybe we can have a card club with the Ali's friend of Matisse. As long as you know the right people in Santa Cruz, it looks like you're okay.
Yeah, that's sad.
Well,
she doesn't need it.
We're talking with...
Barbara.
Barbara, you look like a conservative, fairly middle-class person, perhaps. You have sensible shoes.
Am I supposed to be complimented by this?
I don't know. I'm just trying to look at all sides of this situation.
Don't tell a book by its cover.
Okay, well, you one of them radicals hanging around town? What do you think of this fence?
I don't think I can be defined as either a radical or a conservative. I'm a libertarian.
Right.
So that's kind of on a different scale altogether.
Well, you see me leaning against the fence. Now, in theory, this is illegal behavior. I could be cited for leaning against the green fence.
You're breaking my heart here.
And I could be breaking the law, man.
I think that's possible, but you see, we've got a lot of laws that are unfair. That's just one.
What kind of comment is that? We're at a war, madam. What are you talking about?
And what has that got to do with this?
We must all stand together behind our merchants.
This is small, petty power trips. This is not terrorists. This is not anything that's threatening the safety of our country or any individual within it. This is perhaps, possibly doing something to some profits for one or more businesses. Possibly. And if you ask me, it's entirely possible that it would be good for them to be nice to the hippies.
Oh, come on, madam.
Yes.
We don't want them undesirable transient types.
I don't think that's true. I think that the tourists find this. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not laying on the railing. I'm leaning on the railing.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. I've just been warned not to lean on the railing.
I think that a lot of tourists like to come down here and see people who are different from what they see back in Keokuk, Iowa. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that makes a difference. I think that as long as people are not being rude, I mean, sometimes the language gets a little blue, but, you know, that are not usually directed at the tourist, it's directed at each other, frankly. And as long as they're not, like, doing anything to harm anybody, I cannot see the justification for blocking this off. Now, other parts of the sidewalk have been blocked off for the same sort of thing, for putting
tables up
and chairs. Right. And, right. You know, it's either okay here, too, or it's not really okay there, either.
Well, the problem here is that this was a targeted group of people.
It's much larger.
Right.
Most of the others do not take up so much space. They did it for the purpose of taking up the
Say
space.
Say goodbye to Hippie Planter. Say hello to Yuppie Planter.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. I must catch my bus.
Thank you.
Yeah.